Hello and welcome to Bunta Vista, episode 181. I am Dr. Theo and I'm here to talk to you about the NQE sleep system. What if I told you that billions of people use the NQE sleep system to catapult themselves into the day ahead, as if fired from a mangonel or an onanaja? You'd be pretty interested, right? But you might ask, Dr. Theo, are you a real doctor? Well, yes, I am a real doctor with a real PhD on siege weapons from the Dark to Early Middle Ages. And it was during this PhD that I developed the NQE sleep system. Well, stop teasing. What is the NQE sleep system, I hear you ask? NQE stands for Not Quite Enough Sleep. Modern scientists are still discovering benefits to this system. Unlike other sleep systems, which require you to get a full 8 hours of sleep every night, all the NQE sleep system requires is for you to get six and a half hours each and every night. It's enough to get up and go to work each and every day, and the benefits are endless. You'll get an extra hour or two of scrolling on your phone mindlessly every night, decent cardiovascular health, and the feeling of never being fully awake or rested at any point in your entire fucking life. I'll give you an example. So the other night, after dinner, and after putting my baby to sleep, I wanted to play some Death Stranding, but I knew that I'd have to get up to soothe Finn several times throughout the night, and he'd also be awake at 5 a.m. This caused tension in my mind, like the action of a now-defunct tension catapult, a holdover technology from the original Roman Empire. So, how did I manage it? Well, I utilized the not-quite-enough-sleep system to simply play Death Stranding until 10 p.m, then go to bed and scroll on my phone until finally falling asleep at 11 p.m. The system is simply that flexible, easy, and it will make you feel like shit every waking moment. I'm here with a couple of my customers. I'm not allowed to use the word patients since someone knocked me out to the AMA. Andrew, you're a professional with a full-time job, 2 young children, and a podcasting commitment, yet you still find the time to watch every single movie ever released. How has the NQE sleep system helped you?
I'm sorry, one?
Yeah, you've got all the stuff to do, you haven't slept enough. How is it helping you?
I guess
to be alive.
Oh, it's pretty good. I'm sorry, I was just looking at something on my phone.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why I started looking at it.
No, that is a benefit. You will learn to synthesize information from multiple sources at the same time.
Yeah, and I'll catch up on even more of that at about 12:45 a.m. Tonight.
And if you need a little extra rest time, just feel free to zone out like 2/3 of the way through this podcast as well and just stare at the wall for a bit. What I've been doing. And Ben, I know you've been using the NQE sleep system for years, doing bar shifts at night, but then getting up and jogging around the glorious Brisbane riverfront at 8 a.m. How do you feel about not quite enough sleep?
I used to sleep pretty okay, but then I switched to the NQE sleep system, which means that I get home at 2 in the morning after having closed the bar, and then I keep waking myself up throughout the entire night because I have sleep apnea, but I can't be fucked using my machine. I feel like shit all the time. And I feel like a character in the movie Waking Life, not quite experiencing the things that I see and not being able to fully develop thoughts about them.
It sounds like you're truly using the NQE sleep system to its greatest potential. And unlike the increasingly massive and complicated trebuchets of the early Middle Ages, the NQE sleep system doesn't require a team of engineers several days to employ. You can perform it yourself every night until the day you die tired. So send me money today.
Welcome to Bunta Vista. You're here with the Sleepy Boys.
Oh, I am. It's so good to be.
Good to be partially alive.
I don't want to get to, you know, we don't have to scrutinize that wonderful intro all that much. I just kind of have. I'm curious as to what came first, relating your experience as a new parent who's really not sleeping at the moment, or having the character relating that experience being an expert in siege weaponry.
Well, so you see, Ben, I'd been reading the Wikipedia pages to a lot of siege weaponry at the time. And it's sort of that kind of wide net that I cast every intro that I do that brings you these new and interesting combinations of things that I do.
Yep. And I love those.
It's kind of like a character, but it's sort of like a like an exaggerated version of me.
Oh, you're sort of like the guys in The Trip.
Yeah, or like the girls in Girls.
Huh.
Or Tim Heidecker in The Comedian.
Hmm.
Or the Neil Hamburger guy in... Oh, sorry, The Comedy. It's not called The Comedian. Or the Neil Hamburger guy in that movie from the same guy that directed The Comedy that's about a guy who is basically Neil Hamburger.
I think it's called Neil Hamburger, the movie.
Yep, and it's really fun. It's a lot of laughs. Be sure to check that one out.
Theo, as a parent myself, let me just say there is relief in sight. And you will potentially be having sporadic nights of unbroken sleep in as little as 5 years.
Oh, so
you
hell
can,
yeah.
You can look forward to that.
That's my five-year plan is sleep.
I know.
Hey, my five-year plan is also sleep, but I'm talking about the damn band.
That's true.
I'm still going to be listening to the same music in 5 years.
I was going to say, this is much more than a five-year plan.
I remember when I was like 28 and I read there's a study that's like pretty much your tastes in like film, music, all that kind of thing solidify by about the age 32. And I'm like, well, there's no way that will happen to me.
Yep. And here you are listening to Ocean Size.
Ocean Size again.
Oh, boy.
Listen to some new music again. New music or Ocean Size. Ocean Size again.
Oh, I feel like you have to stretch your brain to accommodate new music, whereas listening to old music, very easy. And it's
very
nice.
Easy
and
on
you
the
know
brain.
That you like it.
Yeah. It's like slipping into a old, holy, cum-stained pair of track pants.
Yeah. That you enjoy because of the cum.
Well, I feel like it's just there, but...
It's part of the charm.
Part of the charm.
So this is how I feel about movies, though. This is how I feel about, like,
we know.
throwing on Mark Wahlberg's Shooter for the 17th time.
No, but you also watch, like, a million fucking movies every week that are new that you haven't seen before.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Although I did also, I have been, like, going through and replacing older copies of movies with, like, nice crispy 1080p versions of stuff, you know?
I mean, you got that Wonder Woman 1984 sitting there on your Plex, just got added. I saw that.
No, I don't. That's... I log into that legitimately through HBO Max. Is that what you got to watch it on? And let me tell you this. Not great. Not great, Wonder Woman 1984.
Yeah, absolutely. That's... certain that wasn't on your Plex. I could have sworn I saw it on there.
No, couldn't be me. That's what you meant to say now, I think.
I don't know. I'm not really keeping up with that sort of thing. Hmm. Wonder Woman, 1984, recently added. It's the fourth most recently added movie on your Plex. I'm looking at it.
Uh-oh. Yep. Wonder Woman, 1984. They had the first movie and everybody said, wow, strong female-led action movie.
Time to make 1,983 more of these.
Well, no. Instead, they said, what if... Patty Jenkins, director of the first one, directed the second one, and also, for some reason, wrote the story and the screenplay herself. And now in this movie, Wonder Woman's greatest enemy of all is not having a boyfriend. That seems to be the main driver of the plot.
Oh, so it's a tale about human connection.
But also, there's a lady that turns into a furry. Is that not also her enemy?
Yeah, Kirsten Wiig.
I've seen that in the trailer.
Does eventually turn into a CGI furry.
Mm.
That's pretty cool.
Well, she's a fairy before and after the CGI.
It's just
I believe the CGI
is
her first suit.
Yes, sorry, you're absolutely right. The furry is a way of living, not necessarily. You're not just a furry while you're in the suit.
Hey, here's another relatively new movie that I watched. Cats. I watched the musical Cats.
How high were you when you watched it?
Very.
Good, man.
And so I watched it with wife of the show, my wife Eleanor, because she loves musicals. I like musicals as well. I have no problem with a musical. This one, however, what the fuck? What the fuck?
We did that screening of it for 2-bit where we did like a, you know, you're allowed to yell shit at the screen. A rowdy screening, if you will. A rowdy Cats. And like, it was fun enough. A lot of screaming happened. But, like, also just watching it, I just had a very strong feeling of being like, this is just not bad in a fun way. Like, it's not... You're not laughing at the goofs. You're just like, oh, ugh, oh, the whole time you're watching it. You're looking at these horrible beasts and just thinking, really? You didn't...
So, like I said, like, I like musicals. I like musical theater. I think that these things are fine and fun and everything.
I don't endorse that position, but...
That's fine. You don't have to.
Yeah.
But, like, so I was having the simultaneous problems while watching this of, number one, the sensory bombardment of the film itself, which is... For some reason, it's the same guy who directed the Les Mis adaptation with Hugh Jackman. And apparently there were like technical problems on that where he just said, hey, fuck it, let's just let you guys sing along to a little earpiece and I'll have the orchestra record their own backing to it later. Which caused all kinds of issues. In this movie, he had some kind of similar problems where he said, I'm just going to get everybody to put on, like, morph suits with some little motion capture things on. And then we will completely add in 100% of the fur-based costumes.
We'll fix it in post.
Yeah, special effects, backgrounds. We'll fix it in post movie.
Everything. And the effect of it is just... It's the most uncanny valley thing I have ever seen. And that includes the Wayans Brothers movie Little Man. Where they spend the entire film superimposing Marlon Wayans' face onto a variety of different sized people. This has that effect because the costumes, like, they seem separate from the faces of the people that they're on. Just terrifying stuff. The perspective and scale shifts constantly. Like, you know, the cats will be sort of half the size of a queen-sized bed, and then all of a sudden they're, like, dancing on railroad tracks as though they were 20 centimeters high. Just wildly bad stuff. But it's also very notable for being apparently the first movie where not only did they say, we'll fix it all in post, but they tried to fix it post-release as
well. Yeah, they patched it.
They rolled out a patch.
They patched that movie. They were like, oh, there's shots where, like, you can just
like
see...
fur missing.
You can just see Judi Dench's normal hands with a, like, a watch on, you know? Yeah, people were just looking at it and saying, it just looks like it's not finished, you know?
You know what's weird, just thinking about, is how good a similar sort of thing that they had to do for the film Kung Pao came out.
Uh-huh.
You know, they were putting human faces onto, like, 1970s martial arts film footage. This was in the early 2000s. Seamless. Looks
so
great.
So much better. But, so I was dealing with that. I was dealing with that happening to my brain, while also just trying to follow along, like, the actual musical. And so, I was just having my mind torn apart by watching this, and also trying to follow the plot. And realizing that this is a musical that has been extremely successful for decades and decades.
Theater people love cats.
The entire... I turned to my wife at some point and said, am I correct in understanding that this entire musical is just a procession of cats coming out and explaining deep cat lore to the audience?
I would say even just introducing themselves.
They introduce themselves, and then they, in very confusing ways, sort of try to explain, I guess, what's going on, which is that every now and then a cat gets chosen to, like, ascend to cat heaven.
Yeah.
Based upon the personal properties of the cat.
Yeah. So you come out and you say, hey, it's me. I'm the train cat.
I have a soul, by the way.
And I wish to be released from this plane of existence immediately. I have done everything it could possibly offer me. Please let me go to cat heaven, please.
So, worst part of the movie is our country's own Rebel Wilson.
Oh, my God.
No offense to Rebel Wilson, but...
I feel like we're done with Rebel Wilson. That's it.
Society has moved beyond the need for Rebel Wilson.
For Rebel Wilson.
Look, I would say there's only so many times someone can fall over and then say, my bad, and then have that be the joke.
Yeah, I bruised my vagina or whatever.
Like, woozle wozzle?
No,
woozle, wozzle.
My actual complaint is just that she is very clearly not in any way, shape, or form a trained dancer or singer, and it's just very bad overall. Best part of the movie is Idris Elba saying meow and then disappearing in a puff of smoke.
And this has been Buena Vista, where you can get such scorching takes as cat's bad.
And Rebel Wilson, not great.
It's bad. Like I had that movie sitting there for a while and thinking, yeah, I should watch that. You know, I hear it's very bad. I had no idea. I couldn't prepare myself.
Whereas I just go, I hear it's very bad. And that's it. I'm on to the next thought.
Yep. My fire, Skoda.
Scrolling on. scrolling on to the next thing.
So and the next thing. Skoda.
So that's what's been going on in Australia. Important news in Australia.
Sorry, which part of that was the news?
Theo having
Theo
trouble
bought
sleeping.
A Skoda?
Theo bought a Skoda.
Skoda.
Skoda. Skoda. Theo bought a Skoda. How does it handle, Theo?
Yeah, it's good. I've got it in eco mode. I put that in. It has. It's the one with the. So I got it secondhand.
It's got a little green
didn't
leaf.
Ask for it, but it has the sports package. And so I immediately took it out of that through drive into eco, and it's sitting in eco mode, so nice and smooth, no frights, no anything. That sweet, sweet fuel economy. And roomy, so I can fit a pram in my car now.
You can fit all your baby accessories.
All so my baby accessories, which are pram, baby seat, and baby.
Mm.
So there's that news. There's
a lot of people forget the baby.
There's me watching Wonder Woman 1984 and Cats. Yep. Ben, any important news from your perspective?
No.
Okay, so we're all caught up on Australian news, which means we should cast our eyes afield, afar, across whatever ocean it is.
Yeah, I feel like most people know what ocean that is, but yep. Go on.
Really, take a guess. Give us your top three of which oceans you reckon it might be.
America's ocean.
Number one, the Dead Sea.
Okay, let's try again.
Oh, no. Moving on.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going across the Indian Ocean, and then from there, I'm going across...
Honestly, it could be any of them, and here's the trick. They all kind of join up, so isn't it just one ocean?
You've lived on the east coast of Australia your entire life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've really only ever been around the one ocean.
Yeah.
Okay.
Moving on.
Mm-hmm.
So they've had a little trouble. What I would describe as a little trouble in America, would you call it? How would you classify it, Ben? How would you characterize it?
I mean, they've just been in the never-ending sort of muck of trouble for the last, well, I mean, for the last 200 and whatever years. But, I mean, the last year was a particularly grueling one. And really, it was a confluence of two things, right? You had the advent of the novel coronavirus, which the US just decided to take a sort of, let's see what high score we can get on this machine kind of approach to, which has been really great. Then they thought, well, let's see what high score we can get before we get the vaccine, somehow tricking themselves into believing that the moment the vaccine was approved, their problems would be over, despite the fact that the vaccine was started rollout a couple of weeks ago. And I think just yesterday or the day before, they hit 4,000 deaths a day, which is pretty fucking cool. But also, there's a little orange Cheeto in the White House.
Damn.
And he doesn't want to leave that White House at all.
Why would you? Free food.
Do you reckon that's the thing that's keeping him... He's like, oh man, I'm going to have to pay someone to make my meals now.
Well, I mean, just for me personally.
What do you reckon the deal is? If you're the president, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you've got the White House kitchen at your disposal, there's a team of highly trained chefs or whatever in there. Is this like a thing where you wake up in the morning and you say, these are the three meals I'd like to have today, and you name any food in the world and they'll make it for you? Or, even though you're the president, you're getting like a set menu every day?
Oh, that'd suck. I'd be so mad.
What do you reckon? Could you just be like, I would like jambalaya today? They're like, okay. I'll give you one of the world's top 10 jambalayas by 6 p.m.
I think that they would probably meet your requests through a number of means. I think that there's probably a kitchen on site where they could prepare a variety of things. But if you were to say, I want a delicious jambalaya, they might just whip out the old, like, Uber Eats.
Mm, but put it on a plate and give you some fancy colouring and stuff.
Yeah, and we've seen that Mr. Drumpf, huh? Huh?
Who?
Sorry, Donald Trump?
Oh, yeah. Right. Sorry, yes. Yep.
We've seen that he likes to be handed a nice shiny platter with some artfully arranged McDonald's on it. So
that's true.
You know,
got that plate with the KFC on it when he was on that plane that one time that was eaten with a knife and fork.
Oof.
Very strange.
Sometimes he likes to eat some ethnic food, like a taco bowl.
Ah, the best Mexican food in the world, made in Trump Tower.
Oh, boy.
I don't know if you've ever seen that thing where there's like a... The president has a sort of personal cinema in the White House, right? But the movies they choose to watch are in the public record. So you can sort of look at like every movie Nixon watched during his presidency or whatever. But it's a thing where they just say, hey, I'd like to watch this movie. And then someone just sort of sorts that out for them. Which is my relationship with you, essentially. I'm looking for this 1930s film I can't find anywhere else. And then magically it ends up on your Plex. That is quite
and
good.
Now this is in the public record.
And now it's in the public record.
Yeah. Do you think he just requests to watch like the scene with him in it from Home Alone 2 over and over, or
yeah, probably
reruns that, of The Apprentice?
That story about how he was being profiled by, I think it was maybe The New Yorker or something, and he was on the plane watching Bloodsport, which is one of the greatest movies of all time, but he had his then like child-aged son, Donald Jr., fast-forwarding through the bits that weren't fight scenes.
See, everybody laughed at that, but, you know,
I can
kind of identify.
There is no fat in that movie. Every single minute is fucking amazing. Every single piece of dialogue in that movie is extraordinary. I wouldn't skip a second of it.
Yeah, it's true.
So anyway, there was an armed insurrection. Capitol building.
Insurrection. We've basically had the culmination of the last 4 years of everybody getting very acclimatized to the president saying whatever the fuck he wants all the time, and none of it mattering. Everybody constantly looking around at each other and saying from all levels of government, hey, someone should do something.
Can he say that? Yes.
Excuse me, Mr. President?
The CIA just making like shooty gun kind of movements over there and then like looking quizzical, like you want it?
I mean,
should we sort that out? Can we just, we've done it before.
We just roll out the same action plan. We'll get him down to Dallas, it's no problem.
We got a guy.
Well,
we had a
we've
guy.
We've got a new guy.
Oh, hey, who wants
last
to...
Last guy left very good documentation, so...
We had a guy. Any volunteers for new guy? Nobody? Nobody? So look, I'm sure that everybody has heard all of this extensively covered through American media and all your favorite podcasts and all that kind of thing.
And also, it's now like 10 or 11 a.m. on Sunday. By the time that this comes out, several hours from now... The entire world will have shifted on its axis, so...
Once again.
Who care?
We were going to say some stuff about it, so I guess...
No, who care? Let's just... Who care?
So we wanted to provide the perspective that we normally do, which is that of Australia's finest minds, Australia's most beautiful and special columnists and politicians, who are here to, I guess... For the last several years, it's been to offer their undying support and pledges of loyalty for Donald Trump. But we are also observing a bit of what we're seeing in America, which is people saying, you know, 10 days out from Biden's inauguration, when Donald Trump is finally 100%, you know, locked into losing power. Ah, I never liked him anyway. Which is the bravest kind of conviction you can show, I think.
Yeah, is when it doesn't matter at all to finally take a stand.
Time to finally ban him on Twitter, you know? I enjoyed watching all of that business. with Twitter. Oh, that's
been fun. Just seeing a lot of, like, just the worst fucking conversations of people being like, we have to have strong principles about these things. If we ban the president, we could ban anyone, which they do all the time for completely arbitrary reasons.
They ban other countries' presidents. That's... But yes, I mean, there are a wide variety of views on how people feel about him being banned from Twitter and all that sort of stuff. Obviously, there is the view that I'm sure we all agree with, that it's not good that we leave so much of this public conversation to companies like Facebook and Apple and Twitter as to what is permissible in a public context.
Absolutely, yep.
But I would also argue that that would maybe not be so much of an issue if the president of the United States were not, like, as addicted to Twitter as, as like, a 26-year-old marketing professional. I don't know. I feel like the way people talk about it... The way people talk about it is as though... That's the only way for the president to communicate with the world, and it's shocking that he's been removed from it, whereas the actual conversation should be, why is this the only way that the president of the United States wanted to communicate with the world? That seems like the actual issue at the crux of it.
Well, because, you know, when you go on TV and all that, you've got speechwriters involved, they can edit it, they do all this stuff. This is just raw. This is straight from the top of the dome.
Just freestyling? Is that what you're saying?
He's roaring his dome.
Yeah.
He's just firing off posts about all the haters and losers that can suck his shit, you know? And that's...
It would be amazing if throughout the presidency he had kept tweeting in the same way that he did before he was president as well. Although things where he'd just be like, shut up, fuckhead, to people.
Fuck you. Yeah, he did. He did love firing off a few of those, didn't he? Truly legendary poster. RIP to his account. So, we thought we might check in with some Australian columnists here, see what's going on. First up, we have Sleepy Idiot Turtle, Gerard Henderson.
Right? Katamari of dry skin rolled up onto insiders.
It's Katamari dermatitis.
Oh. Katamari dermatitis. Oh, my God. Please feel free to pause the podcast at this point and Google Gerard Henderson. See what we're talking about here. Now, Gerard, finger always on the pulse, you know? He's right there.
He's ready to give it to us, just the whole tomato. He's dealing it out.
Shooting the straight shot. So
what do we got?
Here with an article entitled, Democrats Put Congress in the Grip of Cancel Culture.
That doesn't mean anything.
No.
There's no meaning whatsoever. It's just a series of sounds.
Now, this is probably something on the very important events that are going on that we've just sort of alluded to.
Yeah, well, let's see what Gerard has to say. Let's hear it for the aunts and uncles of recent memory. If Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives, has her way, they are destined to be termed a, quote, parent sibling. On New Year's Day, Pelosi introduced a resolution into the House setting out rules for the 117th Congress. Section 2 includes changes to the standing rules. During the next 2 years, new gender-inclusive language will outlaw... Outlaw?
Outlaw.
You will be shot in the street.
Yep.
Will outlaws...
We're going to bring you to mob justice.
It will outlaw such terms as father, mother, son, daughter, brother, sister, uncle, aunt, and so on. They will be replaced by... Parent, child, sibling, parent, sibling. It's easy to make fun of such rules and wonder what will become of the likes of Mother's Day and Father's Day.
It's nothing. It's nothing, Gerard. There's nothing going to become of
that. I'm pretty sure it's just
that.
Like a fucking style guide as well.
That's right. Like, nothing's going
to
happen.
Shut the fuck up, you old piece of shit.
So far, this is completely identical to the huge fuss that there was recently in the Australian media about like a four-year-old... writing guide from the ABC, I think. Was that just a guide for like language to use like internally in the office? And it basically just said like, hey, if you're talking to someone, don't assume that their like partner or husband or whatever is the opposite sex to them. Because that's not the deal for everybody. And that was it.
That was it. Yep.
And we had to have an entire media cycle on it. however, this action is a strike at the ordinary language of Americans.
So, just playing along at home here, fire up DuckDuckGo and put in which country does Gerard Henderson live in?
No doubt the gesture will go down well in San Francisco with a Democrat liberal in the American sense of the term.
Again, has to put that in there because he's doesn't Australian.
Doesn't live there.
Yeah, doesn't live there.
Leftist Pelosi.
Yep, not a thing. She's not leftist.
Lives in luxury inside a gated community.
Okay, that's a good criticism.
But it is likely to be opposed by most Americans, and not just the 74 million who voted for President Donald J. Trump last November.
It doesn't matter. It's Congress. It's a style guide. Who gives a shit?
Yep. He then goes on to do several paragraphs about how, really, when you think about it, the election was actually pretty close. As of January 20th, the Democrats will control two of the three arms of the U.S. government, the White House and Congress. The conservatives will continue to outnumber liberals in the 9-member U.S. Supreme Court. Consequently, the U.S. remains a politically divided nation, as witnessed by pro-Trump protesters storming the Capitol building on Thursday.
Oh, there's something else going on, is there?
So just slides that in there as a little aside, as witnessed by pro-Trump protesters storming the Capitol building on Thursday, AEDT. With the Democrats' current majority in the House and maybe in the Senate threatened at the November 2022 midterm elections. In view of this, it does not seem politically wise for Pelosi to be setting about to change the English language usage from the top down. So, really, just finger on the pulse, laser focused on the really important stuff happening in American politics
really
right now.
Really getting to the grid of things here that, massive unemployment, coronavirus has caused a downturn in the economy, which loses people's jobs, in turn losing their health insurance, which is really bad when you've got a massive fucking pandemic going on. All of this is truly at the core of America's entire mechanism for everything, healthcare, government. Truly, I think, not important next to them changing the way that Congress uses their words.
Whether or not you can say uncle.
Uncle.
And just completely skipping over the president-incited riot in the Capitol building that has now left 5 people dead, including a police officer. That happened. That's just a symptom of the politically divided country, obviously caused by this language guide. I can see now that the riot was caused by this language guide that has not been introduced yet.
All the patriots are at home refreshing the page where the resolutions get published for Congress. And they've read it. They've read it from top to bottom. Understood it and gone, oh, it's time to march on the nation's capital.
Oh, boy. Pelosi's language director for the House's latest act in what has been called the left's cancel culture. Yeah, well, you're calling it that.
By you, you're doing
you're
that.
Calling it. Yeah, that's don't it. Fucking try and make that a voiceless, like, unattributed, oh, other people are saying it's cancel culture. I wouldn't know about
I'm
it.
I'm hearing from a lot that people are calling it exactly the thing I called it.
It's the words on everyone's lips.
You're hearing cancel it more culture. And more. We have become familiar with the demands of the left-wing activists to censor the written and spoken word by demanding that those with whom they disagree become silent on political and social issues.
Give some examples.
Now this has been spread to what should be said on the floor of Congress and within the documents of the U.S. lower house. Not surprisingly, there has been opposition to Pelosi on this issue from within her own party. Former U.S. Representative Tulsi Gabbard.
We're going to Tulsi Gabbard for a quick quote.
Let's cross over to far right-wing nutjob Tulsi Gabbard. Oh, who happened to be on Fox News' Tucker Carlson.
Huh.
When she criticized this. This week, British actor Rowan Atkinson gained international attention after he told the British magazine Radio Times that the cancelling of individuals was a threat not only to the victims of such censorship, but to the future of free speech itself. He added, "It's important that we're exposed to a wide spectrum of opinion.
What we have now is the digital equivalent of the media mob roaming the streets looking for someone to burn.
Is that your belief about how Rowan Atkinson sounds?
No, that's how Mr. Bean sounds.
Okay.
He doesn't talk that much.
That's true.
You know, it's pretty rare to get a long pull quote from Mr. Bean in the newspaper.
He mostly makes distressed noises.
Every now and then. Things of that nature. He's more of a single word kind of guy, just for comedic effect.
And I just want to kind of ask, do you guys remember the actual medieval mob that we had in Charlottesville? With the burning torches, the Nazis, the kind of
the Jews white power
sort of
us.
Thing, and so forth.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just remembered that all of a sudden.
It's actually when someone goes on the internet and says, you are cancelled, Ariel Pink or whoever. Mm-hmm. Fucking. The thing that shits me off so much about this is like the same, you know how conservatives are obsessed with using woke as a sort of fucking
pejorative that's in a pejorative meaningless sense now.
But like all of these words that came from like slang from people of color or were used largely by teens that have now become used by these weird 50-year-olds with like dead seriousness. Like people would sarcastically say that someone had been cancelled because they like said something bad about One Direction. A bunch of 15-year-olds would be like, you are cancelled. And now we've got Rowan Atkinson just fucking being like, oh, cancellation is the most serious problem we have. This shit is just not anything. It's so fucking dumb and such a waste of everyone's time and energy. Just the idea of people not liking some people is not new.
No, and also, if you're a millionaire, multimillionaire, or billionaire in the case of, you know, J.K. Rowling, and they're all mad because they can't get on and say, well, I'd like to run over trans people with my
Skoda.
With my Lexus. If you have that kind of money, just get off the internet.
Yeah.
The only good millionaire, and please don't tell me that she sucks, is Enya, who escaped to a castle where she lives with her cats. I don't even know if she has the internet.
Oh, I
maybe
don't know.
She's,
maybe we should
maybe
look
she's
into
got ISDN or something. But, like, you've got better things to do.
Yeah. You could do literally anything. Like, yeah, you can every have day one of the week, you could absolutely. Think of a new once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Well, so, the criticism of the leftist woke warrior type of thing is always that people feel that they have this entitlement to have their, you know, their personal views and opinions and stuff forcefully respected by other people.
Yeah, when in actual fact, what they're doing is they're logging onto the internet every day and saying something, you know, against some marginalized people, and then people are saying, hey, shut the fuck up. Shut up, British author J.K. Rowling. Shut up. And she doesn't. And then she goes and makes another $1 billion. I went out on a boat the other day and it was horrible. And they had, when we were out there, I saw a boat that detached a jet ski.
Oh, yeah, like the jet ski drives up into it?
Up into it. And they're at the point where they have enough money where they could stack like 6 or 7 boats inside one another in a kind of Matryoshka doll situation, right? And just see how many boats they can stack up leading to, you know, the super yacht that a normal yacht kind of pops out and then a mini yacht and so on down. I don't really know what other kind of boats there are. They could do that instead of just logging on to the internet and saying, you know, how about those gay people? Just do anything. Do anything else.
No.
Buy Jeeps and crash them into each other.
Yeah.
Buy like a dozen Jeeps and then buy an indoor soccer place.
Mm-hmm.
Invite a bunch of your friends around.
Buy an indoor ice place. Even better.
Oh, my God. Oh, my fucking God. Buy an ice rink?
Yeah.
And a dozen Jeeps?
Yeah.
Get your friends on there, fucking scoot around for an afternoon instead of being a transphobe.
I've long maintained that were I wealthy enough, one of my personal hobbies would be to buy small businesses and then run them myself, just being extremely rude to everybody who comes in until the business goes under.
It's the dream.
And then I just close it down and buy another business.
Sorry, this is something you have thought about for a long time?
Yes. That's, it's like, you know, if I win the Powerball kind of thing.
Well, you just buy like a car rental place.
Yeah,
anytime someone's like, hey, I just need like a little 4-door sedan, and you're just like, fuck you. Yeah.
You probably want a Skoda.
Yeah, you would, you piece of shit.
Fucking idiot. Yeah.
Check out this fucking moron. He's trying to get a compact.
Throwing like throwing mints from the little bowl on the counter at them as they walk out the door.
And this M-I-N-C-E.
Is what J.K. Rowling could be doing.
That's what he could be doing with your time, you know? Could just be in heaven. Could just be buying a newsagent, stocking every rack with like pornography.
Yeah. Instead, every single one of these people are going on national TV or like nationally syndicated news and saying how terrible it is that they can't say what they want to say. It's like anyone that'll like will listen, they'll just pick up the phone and just go, hey, I can't say what I want to say, which is exactly this. And then they go and type it up and they put it in the newspaper and then people read the thing that they want to say and they go, oh, such a shame they can't say the thing that they want to say.
They'll have they'll have another interview in the Sydney Morning Herald or the Guardian about how they are being silenced.
And they'll go on the project and they'll be given like the lightest grilling possible. Not even getting browned.
Yep.
No Maillard reaction happening whatsoever.
Gerard continues, the problem in recent times is that the emergence of social media has facilitated the cancel culture. Those public figures who have recently challenged the leftist orthodoxy with respect to causes and expressions exhibit considerable intellectual and at times personal courage.
You know that leftist orthodoxy we've experienced on the internet over the last, you know, 5 or 6 years that it's seen like literally the internet mobilized to elect Trump?
I love logging onto the internet, the place where all leftists go to agree with each other.
Oh, God bless.
He doesn't have the internet, by the way. I guarantee that he is not, like, he uses an old Asus EE book and Internet Explorer 9 to check MSN. What's the fucking Microsoft homepage? Is it still MSN?
I don't know if that's
9 MSN.
Maybe. I think it's 9 MSN now.
God. Had the little green man and the butterfly.
Yes.
Mm.
He's still on the green man and the butterfly.
He says,
I assume he's dictating to this as someone with a typewriter and it's flown by carrier pigeon to the News Corp headquarters.
Yet the likes of Atkinson, Julie Burchill, Jermaine Greer, Barry Humphreys, Tony Robinson, and J.K. Rowling.
Yep.
Are famous and wealthy enough to survive the current censorship.
And why are we putting all of them in the same sentence?
I don't know.
What's the thing that's linked them?
Yeah, what is it about all of these people specifically? You'll probably throw John Cleese in there too. What is it about all these people specifically that has people saying to them, you seem like an unkind, bad person?
Hmm.
Which is, of course, as we know, the...
And we prefer if you stopped doing that.
The brutal Orwellian cancellation that we've all come to witness. When people say, hey, could you not? Have you thought about not doing that?
I can't believe I can no longer hear the extremely relevant opinions of Jermaine Greer.
Or Barry Humphreys.
Or Barry Humphreys. What a loss. What a loss. This is the downfall. You know, like the PragerU graph of like culture... over time and going down, and I think the cancellation of Barry Humphreys is when it hit the x-axis.
Not at all coincidental that all of these people are just people who are famous in Britain and who spend their time saying, why should I have to be respectful of trans people? And that's basically it. Fortunately, Pelosi's language directive is yet to apply in Australia.
Yeah, or anywhere. Anywhere, or nowhere. It's not applying anywhere.
Yeah.
When he says, it's a style guide
as well. I can't stress that enough. When he says,
when he says yet to apply in Australia.
Yeah, he's very.
There's some indication that he thinks that at some
the
point.
The implication is, yep.
At some point.
Inevitable.
Nancy Pelosi's congressional language directive will apply to all of Australia. But stand by for the day when Graham Greene's Travels with My Aunt may be retitled Travels with My Parents' Sibling.
Mm-hmm. Again, not the thing.
I don't understand why that would apply to the title of a book. That's nonsense. I hate this guy so much.
I'm pretty sure
this is one of Australia's most respected political commentators, by the way.
I love to play this little game where we imagine how much this person is paid. It's so awful.
Gerard Henderson is executive director of the Sydney Institute. Really getting their money's worth there, guys.
That is a horror. Like, it's not a good name for a place, by the way. That's one of the places that you explore in Fallout 3.
Yeah, and it's
been
of...
overtaken by robot ghouls.
Mm-hmm.
We also have an update here from George Christensen, MP for Racism. And so he is a...
Hey, I come from racism. it's a terrible place.
So he is a an MP from Queensland in the National Party, which is...
Specifically from Mackay.
From Theo's beautiful hometown.
Yep.
Check out Mackay if you can.
Yeah.
It's in close proximity to some of the very nicest parts of Queensland and is not one of the nice parts of Queensland
itself. Go on down to the jet ski arena they built.
Oh.
1 kilometer from my house, from my like childhood home.
Did you say jet ski arena?
Yeah. So what they did is they there was this big empty space that's like swampland that a train line goes through. It's coal, but oh no, that's the sugar line, I think. And they dug a big hole in the ground, and they filled that hole with water, and they strung up lines like all the way around, and it's for like water sports, and so you can. So actually, I was wrong. It's not jet ski. It's just a powered ski arena, and you hold on to the lines and you go around in the circle. And this was enough of a like blow your mind attraction for them to make it like a selling point in a bunch of like upscale townhouses. They also built around the gigantic mosquito pit.
Uh-huh. What a beautiful place.
And, of course, they re-elected their beloved representative, George Christensen, who, you know, we've talked about on this podcast in the past, basically a big-time right-wing racist psycho, has showed up at, like, you know, alt-right and far-right nationalist rallies. He's been on, like, nationalist podcasts. He's done the whole deal, basically. Extremely big on all of the anti-China stuff, extremely big on propagating, like, COVID-19 conspiracy theory stuff. He's one of the people who's very into the whole, hey, you should be drinking this bleach instead of getting a vaccine kind of thing. I believe they've been, censoring and removing some of his Facebook posts recently, along with Craig Kelly, another notorious dipshit. And so here's what he has to say about the riot at the Capitol. Here's my final comment on the situation in the USA. The left and the fake news media are a disgrace, and they're hypocrites.
Okay.
You know, the fake news media. They have falsely claimed US President Donald J. Trump incited violence yesterday. He didn't. He publicly called for, quote, peace and law and order. You remember that video that Trump posted, the last thing that he managed to get off on his Twitter account before he got suspended, which was the video of him saying, hey, come on, guys. I know you're really mad, which you have every right to be due to the fake election stealing the presidency from me, which we should all be trying to stop. And that's why you're here doing the Stop the Steal rally, which I asked you to come and do. And I'm very happy about. But hey, you know, we've all got to just... Hey, we've all got to let this presidency thing happen. Even though it's fake. Even though it's fake and it got stolen and everything. But we can't do violence. Violence is bad. So cut that out, I guess.
They've taken this from you. They are trying to ruin your life.
Yep.
They should be destroyed. But please don't. Wink.
Wink. Yeah, it's very funny, like, how much he clearly did not want to be saying that. And that it was like sandwiched between him just being like, oh, you're right to do it, though.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I love like you. A child, you're very special.
Doesn't want to eat his vegetables, so he's allowed to eat one bite of extremely well-done steak,
mm-hmm.
a single vegetable, and pouting the whole time, and then another bite of very well-done steak.
That's right. He continues, they have also falsely claimed that a lawful protest from which a small percentage of protesters began a riot was a, quote, insurrection and a coup attempt. It wasn't. It was a mob vandalizing and illegally entering the U.S. Congress, not a coup or an insurrection. Why were they entering the Capitol building again? Why were they storming Congress? Trying to remember.
Just going on a tour, just checking
it
out.
Was it anything to do with the whole Trump saying the presidency has been stolen from me, and if the vice president will not overturn the results, then you need to come to Washington and stop the certification of the election results? Was it anything to do with that?
Or they wanted to look at some nice old paintings.
Hmm. The left and the fake news media have a long track record of talking down violent protests until one is caused by Trump supporters.
I don't really remember a lot of talking down the protests from the media.
Hmm.
Except for, like, I remember seeing it reported in on The Verge as, you know, the violence being caused by the police and going, oh, that...
It's refreshing.
That's refreshing.
Hmm.
And that was the one time I saw it from like, media that could be considered somewhere in the center or in the mainstream. And of course, that's because that's what happened. So that's why the left were talking it down. It's because that's what happened. I mean, every time the protesters went out, they were, you know, brutalized by the police force who hold all the power in this relationship. You know, the media would get less than lethal rounds shot at them. There are multiple people who lost eyeballs from this, you know, and so on and so forth. So I guess it's probably the same as that, though, the what happened with this mob.
It's pretty much the same.
Pretty much the same, where the cops sort of went, oh, it's going to be harder if we try and stop them from going in. And it's also a nice, just as an aside, it's a nice thought, and the DC police should absolutely be abolished, you know, no matter what. But it's a nice thought that it's just the DC police kind of standing out the front. You know, one guy with his finger kind of exploring the inside of his ear, going, I don't really want to be here today. Oh, all these guys showed up. It's going to be harder for me if I don't stop them. So in you go. That's all that's sort of stopping.
Pretty much.
I would have thought that there'd be another like layer there.
No.
But it's nice to see all of this stuff kind of just get unwound in our brains.
George says, here's a smattering of their hypocrisy when it comes to Black Lives Matter protests.
Oh, I love hypocrisy.
Versus what went down at Congress. Now, again, he's not really... It doesn't seem to be very interested in what the, like, original driver of the protest is in any of these cases.
No, certainly not.
Or the outcome of what people were asking for, I think, in... Correct me if I'm wrong. I think with the BLM protests, it was mainly, please stop killing us for no reason.
Yep.
Generally speaking. Oh, you did it again. This is upsetting to us. Please. Seriously, stop killing us for no reason. Versus,
I love it when effects have no causes.
Yeah, versus wannabe...
Just living my life like a baby who's just dropped his toy behind his seat, unable to see it.
It's a completely non-deterministic universe where things just happen for no reason.
Yeah. You know how things just happen?
Things just happen.
Sometimes things just happen.
That's true. And then, yeah, I guess the reason for quote, what went down at Congress was, like I said, more to do with the president openly advocating for his own supporters to come and overturn the results of a legal election. Anyway, here are some of his examples. Democrat VP-elect Kamala Harris said, protesters should not let up, and she set up a fundraising drive to pay for bail for the criminal terrorists who got arrested.
Famous criminal supporter Kamala Harris.
Democrat Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley said there, quote, needs to be unrest in the streets.
That's true.
Democrat Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said, quote, the whole point of protesting is to make people uncomfortable.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Sally Cohn at CNN/Washington Post said, quote, I don't like violent protests, but I understand them, and those wagging their fingers against violent protests need to read up on their American history.
It's literally equivocating on that point there, like,
yep.
I don't and like them.
George Christensen, I think, does actually despise it when people understand things.
Mm.
He doesn't care for understanding.
No.
It undermines his whole thing when people do.
His whole deal.
Interestingly, none of these comments in blatant support, defense, or apology of violent protests earn any of these people bans on social media. You're telling me they didn't get banned for saying the police shouldn't kill as many people as they do? The tech tyrants who run Facebook and Twitter are thus also hypocrites and a disgrace for silencing Trump and his supporters. And the left and fake news media have curiously never called any left-wing protest or riot in any Congress a, quote, insurrection or coup before, when plenty have occurred.
I feel like none of them have planned to, like, take the vice president hostage.
Yeah.
I've just not seen that happen before.
Again, I would say, like, and I'm completely open to people debating the, I guess, the application of terms like insurrection and attempted coup and stuff in this case.
Yeah, I feel like it's possibly just giving it too much credence.
A coup
kind of assumes a modicum of organization.
Although, you know, as we've seen a lot of people saying, when they had like the DC police saying, hey, there was just no indication that something like this was going to happen, other than like the extensive organizing of this on like open Facebook groups to say, this is where we are going on January the 6th and the purpose of our trip. But, yeah, like, I don't know, the whole thing had more of a read to me of mostly people who were just there and angry and frustrated, who have also been extensively misled about what has taken place. And then a smaller group of people within that who are just full-on QAnon nut jobs, who were ready for the big day of executions, you know? And I think if the crowd had have had a much larger proportion of those people, I could imagine the entire thing turning out much, much uglier than it did. Although, 5 people died. That's pretty ugly.
Mm.
And again, the entire purpose of this, ostensibly, and the thing that was, you know, that it was organized as, was stop the steal. We are going to Washington to stop the certification of the election results and make sure that Donald Trump is still installed as leader. So you know, I think we can all kind of quibble about the organization, the very specific application of terms and the dictionary definitions and everything. But I think in spirit, this one definitely had much more of a, we would like to ignore the outcome of an election and keep our big orange strongman dipshit in for life, you know? So these are some of George's examples. Between 2017 and 2020, the Senate offices have been occupied 3 times by mobs of leftist protesters protesting various things, from the Soleimani drone stroke to border security to Kavanaugh. He has misspelled both Soleimani and Kavanaugh.
Oh, well done.
And it's written drone stroke, which I choose to interpret as some kind of like new smart sex toy. here it comes. Between 2017... Oh, none of this was labeled insurrection or terrorist. Instead, we had several Democratic senators join the occupation of the Hart building, and it was declared that, quote, this is what democracy looks like. In 1996, leftists rioted, assaulted police, and broke into the Australian Parliament and vandalized it. After attending a nearby peaceful protest which the Labour movement organized and at which the then Labour leader spoke, no media outlet called it an insurrection or a coup attempt.
Just a quick check on that one. Was that whole deal, like them going in there and vandalizing Parliament, that sort of thing, was it like, one, to try and overturn the result of an election? Two, was it legitimized by the wishes and words and actions of the current sitting leader of the nation? Just quick check on those. If we can get the ABC fact checked on that.
Not to my knowledge.
Also, just, this is from 1996.
Yeah.
He's
digging
like,
in.
Well, so this time they said Trump blamed it, but 24 years ago, presumably the same people didn't. Like, fucking, come on, man. Just taking the piss at this point.
Some of the same people that you're talking about were in primary school at the time.
Yeah, and did they decry it then? I think not.
Checkmate.
Yet, the Australian media have blamed Trump with the situation in the US.
Yeah.
Huh.
Huh.
Now, we could not possibly leave without checking in with our biggest dipshit of all. This is, of course, Miranda Devine, who has been writing in the New York Post for the last year or so. We have extensively covered some of Miranda's exploits in the past on episode 22, the Dipshit Dossier. And so she's a big-time idiot of the Australian press.
If I had to describe her, her brain is made of the same matter that they put inside those incense balls that the Catholic priests light up and swing around them.
Mm-hmm.
That's Miranda Devine is the anthropomorphic equivalent of that.
And but I guess the thing that makes Miranda Devine very different compared to some of these other people is that Trump actually reads her shit and watches her on the news.
Very cool.
He over the last couple of months, he had been like retweeting and quote tweeting her stuff onto his Twitter account, which I'm sure gave Miranda the rockingest orgasms of her life. And
I don't know whether she accepts that pleasure exists.
Only this one kind, and that's being noticed by Senpai. And yeah, I assume as well that part of this is because she has been, I think, one of the most, like, just openly, bizarrely dedicated to Trump writers out there, you know, and it is even weirder that she's Australian, you know, like that's actually
super weird.
Had to put her in the New York Post so anyone would read it, because it doesn't make sense for someone to be writing in like the Daily Telegraph or the Herald Sun or whatever every week about glorious leader Donald Trump. So they got her over there instead. And she writes, from the Senate to Mike Pence, Trump destroys the party on the way out the door. The storming of the U.S. Capitol yesterday by a group of fired-up Trump supporters was a tragedy for the Republican Party, for conservatives and populist nationalists, what a shame, and for Donald Trump and his legacy. Now, okay, so straight off the bat with that paragraph, we're thinking to ourselves, Miranda's finally coming around. Big tragedy for the right wing, for the Republican Party, all these things.
Yeah, and for the nation, I assume.
No. No. Because the nation is half composed of the scum that we would all like to see put to the sword. So let's find out why that is a tragedy. It has bestowed the great gift of the moral high ground on the most undeserving people in the world, Joe Biden and the left. Which I would note are two distinct groups here.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And also, why does she believe that the Republicans... Name one thing that the Republicans should carry the moral high ground on. Name a single thing. And, of course, the answer there is, you know, stopping people from having abortions or what have you. That's it. That's all it is.
Yeah, that being brave enough to pretend there isn't a pandemic happening. Mm-hmm. Some of that kind of thing. So, she continues, they now have a free pass to persecute their ideological enemies while enacting their pet cultural Marxist projects and changing this country irrevocably for the worst.
So, I assume you still have DuckDuckGo open. Just type in, where does Miranda Devine live?
Where does Miranda Devine live?
She lives in Sydney. Hmm. Sydney, Australia, sorry. It should be. Just quick on that.
So, changing this country.
This country.
Not like Sydney, Arkansas or Sydney, Michigan or...
No, not one of those
Sydney,
ones.
Idaho. No. Yeah, okay.
Oh, I would hate for noted Marxist Joe Biden to do his cultural Marxist projects on me in a country that I don't live in. They will be unimpeded by a Senate now in Democratic control thanks to Tuesday's Georgia runoff debacle.
And I'm sure we'll see some Marxist projects, cultural or perhaps maybe economic. The only thing that Marxism applies to. It's just.
She has moved to New York. I think the thing saying she lives in Sydney is old. Actually, she moved to New York for the job.
She has moved to New York. Yes. My apologies. You can call it this country. Everything else.
Well.
Not good.
Apologies of the show.
Yeah, we have to apologize to conservative Catholic Miranda Devine.
We will be sending an edible arrangement to her fourth floor walk-up in New York as an apology.
For Georgia, we can blame Trump's irrational efforts to overturn the November election result and a clueless GOP establishment which offered Peach State voters two candidates so cartoonishly wrong for the times they may as well have begged the MAGA base to stay home.
Is she saying that the candidates there were not populist enough?
Well, she describes the candidates as a guy who made his money outsourcing jobs to China and a wealthy elitist with a fake Southern accent.
Literally Trump with a fake Southern accent.
And this is somehow different to the standard Republican senator?
This is somehow different to every GOP candidate.
Yeah, it's like when Ted Cruz puts on a cowboy hat and you have to be like, yep.
Damn.
Absolutely,
that man could split a log.
Oh, boy.
That man could split my log.
Trump's sabotage of the Georgia runoffs and his rabble-rousing Stop the Steal rally in Washington yesterday were a catastrophe for his followers.
Or for the country. It's just, you know. Well,
but again, it's not about everybody. For the country. Yes. It's about her side. They have justified the outlandish criticism of his enemies for the past 4 years. You know, the past 4 years. Nothing happened in that time. Just everyone was really critical up the whole time. And now we've had this one completely isolated incident. I think. Oh, that 4 years of sowing? Fine. All this reaping, though. Very, very bad look.
Not good.
His good works will be undone.
And there's simply no point in listing them out all here.
Let's take them as read. Yeah.
So take them as read. It's a word limit, kind of a little bit behind the curtains here. You can't just fill a document with the good things that Trump has done. You'd be there all day. People are sick of hearing about them. You know how we've spent the last 4 years just ruminating on success after success.
His good deeds, which I assume we're all completely familiar with and have committed to memory by now, and no one will be there to protect them.
Well, that much is true.
He will be gone and his people will reap the whirlwind.
God, I hope.
Again, what level of brain science do you have to be on to be acting at this point of everything as though you believe or ever believed that Donald Trump was going to be some great savior protecting and helping his most diehard supporters? Oh, my goodness. The footage of yesterday's Capitol break-in will be played on eternal loop by Trump-hating media as evidence that the populist nationalist movement which propelled Trump to power was a dangerous aberration that must never be allowed to rise again.
I hate it when evidence of a thing is presented as evidence of a thing.
It's almost unfair, isn't it?
It is so unfair when you take the things that have resulted because of my words and action and use them against me.
Wow, people are going to present evidence of a populist nationalist movement like doing psychotic things and killing people in the streets and storming US government buildings as evidence that it's dangerous and bad. Of course, it was wrong for pro-Trump protesters to break into the US Capitol and wander around with their flags. It only took
awfully generous of you to say so.
Only took her 10 paragraphs to get there. To saying, also that was wrong. They shouldn't have trespassed and fought police and broken windows, although...
it's the property. It's the property that's bad.
I believe we can upgrade that one to killed police as well.
Yep.
Because that cop apparently got hit in the head with a fire extinguisher and died a day or two later. They shouldn't have trespassed and killed police and broken windows. Those selfies they took on the House floor, or in the case of one bearded man sitting in House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's evacuated office with his feet on her desk, were dumb and self-incriminating. So is the problem that they shouldn't have done it in the first place, or that they have foolishly made it easier to be charged? I hope they were worth it, because you know they won't receive the kid glove treatment that BLM Antifa received with last year's mostly peaceful protests.
Again, that didn't happen.
They didn't throw bricks at police or burn buildings to the ground or beat innocent passersby senseless.
But hey, what happened before the bricks thrown at police, which really... not a thing, and burnt the police building. What happened just before that?
Well, I'm not sure.
Just before that occurred.
Could have been anything.
Could have been anything. Anything that perhaps relating to the police. Just kindly kind of skipping over the fact that we have, you know, on camera members of the police force leaving piles of bricks to incite violence around, and then just going back and hopping back in their police cars and driving off.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. She continues, they will have the book thrown at them because it's not the crime you commit that matters anymore. It's who you are. Here's a few headlines about that, actually, from insider.com. Two Black Lives Matter demonstrators are facing life in prison. Experts say the deeply disturbing potential sentences are a, quote, unprecedented form of government overreach. Seven protesters in Salt Lake City were briefly facing life in prison after prosecutors said they covered the district attorney's office with red spray paint. Nothing like a life sentence for some red spray paint. The charges have since been downgraded, although the protesters still face 5 to 15 years behind bars. From The Guardian, more than 10,000 people have been arrested around the US during the protests as police forces regularly use pepper spray, rubber bullets, tear gas, and batons on protesters, media, and bystanders. A Denver, Colorado police officer was fired for posting on Instagram, quote, "Let's start a riot." In New York City, video surfaced of NYPD officers pointing a gun at protesters, driving an SUV into a crowd of protesters, swiping a protester with a car door, an officer flashing a white supremacy symbol, and other officers shoving a woman to the ground, which left her hospitalized. Several protesters and bystanders around the US have been left hospitalized from rubber bullet wounds, beanbags, tear gas canisters, and batons, while police have reportedly torn down medical tents and destroyed water bottles meant for protesters. I hate to see a group getting that kid gloves treatment. Getting the softly, you know? Anyway, she continues, as bad as the Capitol Hill anarchy yesterday looked, we shouldn't be surprised after the way leftist violence was condoned most of last year.
Literally didn't happen.
You let the genie out of the bottle, there's no telling where it goes. So she's very nicely mirroring Trump's attitude here. The violence is bad, but also you are right to be angry and the other side did it first and they would do it worse to you if you got the chance. So really, when you think about it. Joe Biden's attempt at being a teleprompter statesman condemning the protests was laughable. Does he think we forgot he sat by benignly as his supporters torched American cities for months leading up to the election?
No, not his supporters. Separate group. Same as above.
Yep.
Suddenly, the same politicians and media squawkers who turned a blind eye to actual violence, arson, and murder are big advocates of law and order. Give me a break.
Again, it's the people getting murdered by the law and order.
Yep. Seem to be more of a problem with the police who are responsible for enforcing law and order being the ones who are repeatedly caught out breaking the law, committing murder, assault, all kinds of stuff. On a seemingly constant basis, theft as well.
Yeah, while also holding all of the power, experiencing no consequence whatsoever,
yep.
And just being able to do that unchecked. That's sort of like, that's sort of kind of a bit about of what protesting is sort of about, if you will. Whereas this one is very different for some reason.
Says yesterday wasn't all about overturning the election result, as much effort as Trump has put into that doomed project over the last 2 months. Frustration among his supporters has been building to a boiling point for 4 years as every power base conspired to subvert his 2016 election win and hobble his presidency. Remember how every power base conspired to subvert him? Remember how, like, every single government department has said, okay...
All right, we'll do that thing. We'll just have, you know, the FCC just we'll clear that out, put someone else at the top. We'll continue to just destroy the environmental agencies across the country, and experience no repercussions whatsoever. We'll just change weather forecasts live, and then, you know, not have anything happen.
Yeah,
but I'm sure. There's probably an example that she can give as well.
Anyway, becoming what you hate isn't the answer. Nor is burning down the Republican Party in the vain hope that a new party, more to your liking, somehow will rise like a phoenix from the ashes.
We would hate it also if you burnt down the Republican Party. We would also, on the left, we would really super hate that. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't be tempted.
The other answer isn't attacking Trump's most loyal ally, without whom he probably never would have been elected, Mike Pence. There were a lot of egregious moments yesterday, but probably the most unfair was when Pence became MAGA enemy number one. There was even a call for the Capitol invaders to arrest the vice president. That is entirely Trump's fault. He has been bullying, cajoling, and gaslighting Pence.
It's not what wow. gaslighting is.
Yep.
It's real now to her.
It's real now.
To help him out of the dead end that he found himself in with 2 weeks to Inauguration Day. Trump referred to Pence no fewer than 7 times in his rally speech on the Ellipse yesterday. Quote, I hope Mike has the courage to do what he has to do. But Pence quite properly refused to demand that he block Congress's confirmation of Biden as president yesterday. Having failed to prove your case in court after trying for 2 months, you can't load the entire weight of unrealistic expectations onto Pence at the last minute. In his last days as president, Barack Obama honored Vice President Biden with the Medal of Freedom. In his last days as president, Trump kicked Pence in the teeth. It's wrong, and he should apologize for it, along with everything else that happened yesterday.
Yeah, you know famously that word that Trump loved to say?
Oh, my bad. I just, yeah.
Also, it's so good being able to see just like a pivot just completely manufactured in real time. Like, she's just positioning herself as if she's the, you know, arbiter of what's good and real in the world and not just trying to hang on to, you know, some sort of relevance because she's been backing Trump for so many years and that has clearly not gone great for her. So the obvious thing, the only thing left is to pivot to viable candidate and bellwether Mike Pence.
Oh, Mike.
Good luck. Have fun.
And you know, it's also a very nice kind of encapsulation of what has been happening across the political right wing at the moment, which is every person who has spent the last 4 years dedicating all of their energy to supporting Trump because it was getting them what they wanted, now turning around at the absolute last minute in the last 2 weeks of it all and saying, hey, actually, that's not cool, man. Hey.
Yeah, we loved all of the things you've done, but now, because that's all on record. We got that on paper where we said that the things you were doing were good. But now, when it appears that suddenly your power is no longer going to help me in my career, that's no good. I don't like that, suddenly.
Don't care for it. Mike Pence, the man who has been completely loyal to Donald Trump, enabling all of his worst impulses for 4 years straight. Mm-hmm. Wow, he just gets cast aside at the end as though his loyalty meant nothing.
It was so weird.
As though Donald Trump has never cared about any of these people, one iota, beyond what they can do for him in the immediate moment. And that's a shock. That's a shock to me, a person who writes about this professionally. She wraps it up saying he has 2 weeks left to persuade his supporters to put the 2020 election behind them and focus on the real fight ahead, winning back the House in 2022 and the White House in 2024. Everything else is a distraction.
For sure, man.
Good luck. For sure. Good luck.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
That is going to happen. And I'm excited for it to happen. I am excited for Donald Trump.
I'm so excited for Donald Trump to come back, and even though he's got no... It's like not going to personally help him in any way, shape, or form, for him to come back and say, you know, hey, you know, maybe we need to be doing some forward-thinking things, like things that don't involve me. I'm really looking forward to seeing that. I think we'll see it. I think it's going to happen for sure, man. For sure that's going to happen.
Imagine even like the concept of Donald Trump like doing an address in which he says, hey, but this isn't about me.
This isn't about me. We're taking a break from the haters and losers.
I've been writing about this man for years now, and this is what I expect to see. Very funny. Well, I think that's all we have time for this week. It's probably time for Theo to, like, have, I don't know, maybe a 20-minute long restless nap. Ooh, and then he wakes up from it feeling more tired than...
Yeah, a little kip.
When he went
and
in.
And then my baby will start shouting his demands.
And that's the NQE system.
Yep.
We love to see it. Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Just checking you're still there.
Oh, I'm still here.
Yeah, that's good. Don't want you to go anywhere.
Sorry, I did get distracted by... A friend of the show, Dave, just made a beautiful piece of fan art of the show, very specifically making fun of a very specific mispronunciation Theo accidentally made in the bonus episode we recorded. And I'll let Theo find that one on his own time.
But, oh, good. Cool. Thank you.
Theo loves that sort of thing.
Yeah, I love it. I love pronouncing words. I love remembering words. I love forgetting words again.
Mm. Yep. This one, I think, was not so much a not knowing how it's pronounced as in it was just a slip of the tongue, but it was quite funny.
Well, yeah, that's about it for us. And don't forget that if you want to pick up, like, a t-shirt, a mug, a sticker, something like that, you can go to shop.buntavista.com. You can click some buttons, possibly put in some personal details. I don't really care where it gets sent to.
As long as we get that cash, baby.
Hey, someone will get a nice shirt, and isn't that what counts? Maybe, yeah. Maybe you just want to have something posted out to whoever. You know, that's none of my you business. Want
some random person to get a wrongly sized t-shirt for a podcast they've never heard of.
Oh, I better check this out.
Maybe that'll be the perfect introduction to the show.
Our new advertising strategy.
Who knows? Who knows? Shop.buntavista.com. Check it out, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.